Father. And every faithful heart, fallen brother, can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, joined by
Paul Sadek.
And we're here the day after, the 2 days after, 3 days after Thanksgiving.
A lot of people have this time off.
They do. A lot of people traveling. Say, if you are traveling right now, welcome. And I'm glad you tuned in, because a little bit later on, we're going to talk about how to deal with tough times. And maybe you even had a tough time with your family. Isn't it crazy, Paul, how Christmas and Thanksgiving
holidays can bring out the best and the worst in people.
It's amazing. Well, we're going to talk about
this fallen world.
What do you do in tough times, and how do you respond to tough times? Basically, we're going to be talking about praise and Thanksgiving, and I want to give you some secrets in the kingdom here to dealing with that type of thing. That's coming up a little bit later on, but what did you guys do this year?
We always have at least some turkey, and we usually do Thanksgiving at my home and then go over to my daughter's house the day after and have more turkey.
It would feel weird not to do that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'm in that same, we do the same thing every year pretty much. And, you know, you kind of look forward to it. There's something about the tradition that warms the heart. The family comes together, and it's a great time of year.
There's something to be said for knowing what to expect.
Yes, and there's something to be said for people who live up in this cold weather that we've been having recently. But
it's November.
Yeah, I know. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving and how do you actually go about giving thanks to God in tough situations. You know what I'd like to do, Paul, today is really take this opportunity to get into the nitty-gritty of what it means to praise God and thank Him in really difficult situations.
I am open to learning.
You know, speaking of traditions, we have one in our household, Paul. My mom makes this one dish every Thanksgiving, and we call it muck. And M-U-K, muck. And
I was just going to ask if it's something you like.
Well, I don't know. We've never eaten it, actually. But she makes it every year, and it's kind of red. It looks like Jell-O. It has ground up carrots and that type of thing in it. And nobody dares touch it. And this has been going on for 40, 50 years now. And so it sits on the table by itself. We stare at it for a little bit, and we get stuffed on all the other things. And then eventually everybody leaves and says, well, do you want it? Do you want to take it? No, no. But we're not really sure what happens to it after all the kids leave my mom's house. I think they use it actually to, you know, mend the fence in the backyard and things like that.
I was going to say maybe clean the paint off of the wall when you need to.
Well, does your family have a particular tradition you do every year?
Not one like that, Jeff. You're just plain weird.
Yeah, we are. We're very, very weird. Hey, we are going to talk about Thanksgiving here, and this is something that has really made a difference in my life. I mean, how many times do we find ourselves in really, really difficult situations? And I mean, talking about health problems, I'm talking about financial problems, talking about relational problems, and you know, this time of the year with the holidays, that has a way of, you know, rearing its ugly head with siblings, you know, getting after each other, and sometimes the whole day is shot as a brother or sister will get upset and walk out of the house, and sometimes the holidays are painful for people with their memories of growing up. But what about, you know, what are you going through in your life right now in terms of your health, and what are you going through in terms of your job and finances, and even your own emotional well-being? When you hit these rough parts of the road, how do you respond? You know, and I think if you're like me, you probably your first inclination is to do what you saw happening when you were growing up. You know, how did mom and dad deal with tough times?
Right. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are there. And so what we want to do is talk today about some new ways of responding to the difficult times. We want to take a look at the Bible and see what was the pattern in the Bible when the people of God were in difficult situations. How did they respond? And I'm not talking about, and you know, Paul, you've been, you know, you've got years of being involved in the church. When we say you need to praise God and you need to thank God in your tough situation. A lot of people automatically kind of go to this, okay, so Jeff, what you're saying is when
I'm going through— my teeth.
Yeah, well, yeah, when I'm going through tough times, what you're asking me to do is just say, praise God, praise God, praise God. And somehow, some way, someday, it's all just going to work out.
Yeah, no, not necessarily.
No. And so we want to go beyond, you know, the— just the kind of the words of praise God, thank you, Lord. And we want to get into the real details of praising and thanking God. And I'll say this right now, if you stick with us, I think I'm pretty accurate in saying that if you will do what I'm about to share with you in the tough times in your life, it'll make a difference. It really will make a difference in your life. And one of the things that we're going to see is that when you really begin to praise God and thank Him, it doesn't change God. I mean, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but it will change you, and it will change you and your circumstances and your outlook.
That's usually what's needed, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you kind of go from your— not that you're a bad guy, Paul, but we're going to go from your limited knowledge to God's unlimited knowledge.
Right. Yeah.
Your limited power to God's unlimited power, and from your limited perspective to His unlimited perspective. So I guess what we're really saying to you is, let's start seeing our problems from God's vantage point and begin to turn to Him in those difficult situations. So I'm really looking forward to that. So when we come back, we're going to talk about what is real praise, what is real thanksgiving, and how do we actually enter into it at this great time of the year. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover.
Hi, this is Paul Archambault, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new buildings, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. Call Stinson Electric,
612-424-7382. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and boy, we hope you had a great, great holiday, great Thanksgiving. There's so much to be thankful for, isn't there? So much. And today I want to talk to you about giving praise and thanks to God, particularly in the rough situations in your life. You know, how do you respond to those? And I'll just tell you now, if you have access to a paper and a pencil, I am going to give you some scriptures a little bit later on that will, I think, help you unlock this mystery, you know, of praising God in tough situations and what happens after you begin to praise God. A little bit later on in the show, in fact, I'm going to give you some real tips on practical things to do to cultivate a life of thanksgiving in your life. But I want to start off by, talking about the Bible, because the Bible is really the source of and the model for how we respond in difficult times. And when you read the Bible, I don't know about you, but For me in the past, I have read the Bible about the great stories of liberation. You've got stories like Moses and the Exodus. You have Gideon, and you have the story of Samson and Delilah, David and Goliath, and of course all the New Testament stories. And when you read it, you're struck by the dynamic deliverance of the Lord in everybody's life. And you read it, but one of the problems that we get into, to be honest with you, is we read it in a way that it could never happen to us. You know, we read the story of David and Goliath, and we say, well, that's David. I mean, he's in the Bible, and God delivered him in a mighty way. But I'm from Shakopee. Does God do that with people from Shakopee? Or I'm from Chaska, or I'm from Bloomington, or I'm from Ham Lake. And does God still move in the lives of people from Ham Lake? like he did with David and Goliath? And the answer is absolutely yes. In fact, it's a Catholic teaching, you know, that God moves and he has his being in the midst of our lives, and it's a great thing. He doesn't change. I like that scripture in the Old Testament. You probably heard it before, Zechariah 4:6, where the prophet said, not by our own might or by our own power, but by his Spirit. And that's such a good word in your life right now. It's not by your own might, and it's not by your own power that you're going to, you know, get through these tough times, but it really is by the Spirit of the Lord. And so that brings us to the question, well, how do you enter into the Spirit of the Lord? And how do you tap into the power of God in these difficult situations? Well, let's turn to the Bible first. And one of the great patterns we see in the Bible comes from the book of Judges. Many of you are familiar with the book of Judges. You know, you have the children of Israel coming up out of Egypt with Moses. You've seen it before, Charlton Heston. And they come out of Egypt and they go down to Mount Sinai and they spend a year at Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus. And then we go into the book of Numbers and they depart from Sinai and they go up into what hopefully is going to be the promised land, but they resist. And they said to God, you know, there's giants up in the land. We can't go up there. So God says, fine, for every day that you are spying out the land, you're going to wander around for a year in the wilderness. So you know the number, 40. They were up there for 40 days. And so 40 years they wandered around. And finally, in the book of Joshua, they enter the land, they conquer Canaan, and that leads to the book of Judges, where there's no leadership anymore. And everyone's kind of looking at each other like, what do we do? What are you going to do? I don't know. What should we do? So in two situations, chapter 1 and chapter 20, they ask a very pertinent question, and that is this. When we are surrounded by enemies and we are experiencing tough times, if you put that into a modern setting, we could say, when you're waiting for the doctor's report or you have to go visit the principal at your kid's high school, what tribe should go up first? What tribe should go up first? Which one of the 12? And that question is asked twice, once in Judges 1 and once in Judges 20. And in both cases, the answer is the same. It's the tribe of Judah. Now, who's Judah? Well, Judah is the fourth born son of Israel, Jacob. And Judah is the largest tribe, situated right in the middle of the country. So you have to ask yourself, well, why would Judah go up first? Well, it's the largest. It's also the tribe that Jesus comes from. He's known as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. There's a couple of good reasons right there why Judah might go up first in battle. But I think that the real reason here is found hidden in the name and the meaning of Judah. In Hebrew, it's pronounced Yehudah, but we say Judah, and it simply means praise. And so if you look at this from a spiritual perspective and a practical perspective for you today, you would ask the question, well, what should happen first when a tragedy comes or difficulties come? You know, what tribe should go up first? Well, Judah. Judah should go up first because it means praise. And so we can really learn something from this, and that is this. When you're in a tough situation, the biblical pattern is this. This is what goes first. Praise. Begin to praise God in your difficult situation. But let me ask you a personal question, and I'll ask myself the same personal question, and that is this. Currently in your life, when you are frustrated, when you have hope deferred, in other words, you were hoping on something and it didn't turn out, when obstacles come up in the way, what do you do first? What comes out of your mouth first? What do you do in your home first? What do you do in the car when you're frustrated or somebody pulls over in front of you? Or you are looking forward to a beautiful Saturday and you're thinking, you know what, this Saturday I'm going to clean out the garage. I'm going to go down to Caribou and get a nice cup of coffee or wherever. And all of a sudden you wake up Saturday morning and your wife has scheduled you to go up to St. Cloud to a wedding. And it's not just a wedding, it's your wife's cousin's best friend's butcher's next door neighbor's uncle. And your Saturday is shot. What do you do? What comes out of your mouth? Well, you know, in most cases, what comes out of our mouth is what we learned when we were growing up or what we saw. You know, when tough times come, what do? Do you throw pots and pans? Do you slam doors? I heard a comedian recently, he was saying that he went camping and got mad at his girlfriend, and he had he said it was very difficult to slam the flap of the tent. But would do you slam doors? Do you throw things? Do you curse? Do you blame? Do you run? Do you self-medicate? You know, what do you do when the tough times come? Well, the biblical pattern is you praise God. Now, let's look for a moment at that word Judah for a second, because we can learn an awful lot about it. Stay with me here, because this is going to be some good stuff. The word Judah, Yehudah, means praise, and it comes from a root word called Yada in Hebrew. And the word Yada means literally to throw or to cast. To throw or to cast. And so when it's used in the biblical text, it takes on the meaning of to confess or to declare. So I'll ask you again, you know, when tough times come in your life, or you're frustrated, you're cut off, whatever it might be, what do you confess? What do you declare? You know, I know there was a time in my life where I confessed and declared, you know what, this always happens to me. I'm the worm. I never get a break. I can't believe it. I got bad luck. I don't have my rabbit's foot with me. I can't figure it out. There was a time where I got mad at people or blamed people when tough times came my way. But the idea here, to confess and to declare, the two go hand in hand. And here's what's interesting. Watch this. In the context of prayer, Yada, the root word of Judah, still retains the root meaning of confession. However, instead of confessing God's attributes, it becomes the confession of our sins to God. So this brings a whole new dimension to praise, and that is that when you're in a tough time, not only do you confess who God is and praise Him, but you also confess your sin. Because I'll tell you, when you're going through tough times, you don't need that kind of weight around your neck. You don't need that kind of weight in your life. You need to be lean and mean and nimble. You need to be able to move quick. You don't want sin weighing you down. And you certainly, during tough times, don't want to have to deal with this guilt that you're carrying around with you. Deal with it. Confess your sin. You know, I can't fight battles if I'm crippled by sin. Can't do it. And you know that venial sin, what does it do? Venial sin weakens our relationship with God. And you can't afford to be weak in the midst of battles. Go in your own time, read Psalm 79. Psalm 79, particularly verses 8 and 9, just remember 79. Go back to it. You'll see an example of confessing sin and confessing who God is, all in the same psalm. But I want to share something with you here that I think is absolutely the key. And it comes from paragraph 236 of the Catechism. And paragraph 236 gives us a super key, an insight into getting to know God. And it gives us the key to praising God and thanking God. As I made the comment just a moment ago, praising God is declaring who He is. It's declaring something, at least, you know. And paragraph 236 says that there's really two prerequisites that are, they're really, really critical in your life. Two things that you've got to know if you're going to make it through the tough time. Two things that you need to know if you are truly going to praise God and be effective in praising God. And you won't want to miss this. We're going to talk about these two things. One is called the theology, which I'm going to break this down into really, really practical terms. The second's called the economy, which I'm going to break that down into very practical terms. If you don't know these two things, then you are going to wonder after a while what you're praising God for. So when we return from the break, I want to get into these. I want to talk about these two things that are absolutely critical to a great praise and thanksgiving life. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back. Rediscover.
This is Evan Beacom with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. The image of Our Lady with the Child Jesus in Santa Maria Maggiore in Rome is known simply as Salus Populi Romani, the protectress of the Roman people. Legend has it that the image was painted by Luke the Evangelist on the wood of the table of the Last Supper. Whatever its origin, Pope St. Gregory the Great had it processed through Rome in the 6th century to end an outbreak of the plague. Pope St. Pius V had it processed through Rome in the 16th century to pray for victory at the decisive naval battle of Lepanto. In August, it left Santa Maria Maggiore again, this time for Pope Francis' prayer vigil for peace at St. Peter's.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
In the morning when I rise, help me to prioritize all the thoughts that fill my day.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. When you rise in the morning, what comes out of your mouth? Okay, we're talking about praise. I'm Jeff Cavins. Glad you joined me today. Talking about Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving. And we're talking about it because it's really, really critical. If you're going to get through the battles in your life and you're going to face those obstacles and become victorious in Christ, well, you have to know how to praise Him. That's the biblical pattern. As I mentioned before the break, in the book of Judges, when they asked the question in chapter 1 and 20, when you're in a battle, which tribe should go up first? Judah. And we've already established that the meaning of Judah is praise, and we're supposed to confess something about God. We also confess our sins, but we need to confess something about God. Now, here's the key. That there's two things that you really need to know if you're going to have an effective praise and thanksgiving language. If you're truly going to go beyond just saying, praise you, God, thank you, Jesus, and you're going to get into what I would call a more mature praise language, you got to know two things. Number one, and this comes from paragraph 236 of the Catechism. Number one, it says in the Catechism that you need to know the economy of God. And number two, the theology. Let's take the second one first. You need to know the theology of God. You need to know the theology. What are we talking about when we say that? What does the catechism mean? It talks about the mystery of the Trinity. Let me break it down just a little bit more. When the church says that you need to know the theology, we're talking about you need to know the heart of your Father. You need to know the heart of your Heavenly Father. Let me ask you today, in what you're going through right now, in the midst of the battle that you're facing right now, do you know the heart of your Father? Do you know what He does, what He thinks and what He feels about your situation? Do you know the heart of your Father? Now, that's number one, to know the heart of your Heavenly Father. And you come to know the heart of your Heavenly Father simply by being with Him. And that's adoration, that's going to Mass, that's Bible reading, that's studying the Catechism, it's looking at the lives of the saints, it's praying the Rosary. There's a lot of ways that you come to know the heart of your Father. But I cannot imagine being in a tough situation and having to call out for help and not knowing the heart of my Father. I'm going to give you an example in just a few minutes of something that happened to me in Bloomington when I was growing up with some bullies in the neighborhood. I'm going to tell you all about them and how my dad came to my rescue because I knew his heart and I called out to him. So number one, the theology, the heart of the Father. Do you know the heart of the Father? Now, number two, in paragraph 236 of the Catechism, it says that you need to know the economy of God. Economy, you say? That sounds like money. That sounds like the whole money system and buying and trading and everything else. No, we're not talking about that kind of economy. The word oikonomia, where we get the word economy in Greek, originally meant a father's household plan. So back in Jesus' day, in Paul's day, if somebody were to talk to you about the economy, they would be talking about the economy of a home, and that is your Father's plan for the home. And so as I asked you about, do you know your Father's heart, theology, do you know His plan, the economy? Do you know His plan? How do you get to know the plan of your Heavenly Father? Most people would say, you know, when I was growing up, I knew the heart of my Father, and I knew His plan too, and I knew that if I did this, He'd do that. If I came home from, you know, late, I was supposed to be home at 11, and I got home at midnight, I knew my dad's plan. I knew what was going to happen. And likewise, I knew how my father would treat my mother. I knew his plan. How do you get to know the plan of your Heavenly Father? Well, very simply, it's in the Bible. It's reading the Bible because, you see, in the Bible, the plan of God is revealed in words and deeds. So if you want to know what God does in given circumstances, then you need to visit the Bible and get to know Him, because He wrote that with human authors so that He could reveal Himself to you so that you could trust Him. So if you don't know His plans, then what are you trusting in right now in that tough situation in your life? If you don't know your Heavenly Father's heart toward you, then who are you looking to in your life right now? And you might be saying, well, you know, Jeff, I don't know what I'm doing. That's why we're here today. That's why we're here today in Relevant Radio, on Relevant Radio, after Thanksgiving, talking about Thanksgiving. I want you to write those two words down, the theology and the economy. You get to know the heart of your Father, and you know His words and deeds. Those are very, very, very important. Why? Because when it comes to biblical praise and thanksgiving, knowing the heart of your Father and knowing His deeds and His ways will become the substance of your praise. It will become the vocabulary of what comes out of your mouth in tough times. It will become the weapon, if you will, to bring down strongholds in those things that are trying to defeat you from the enemy in life. You're saying, oh, Jeff, you're talking about an enemy. Well, it's not just me. Jesus is in on this too. He talks about an enemy. The church talks about an enemy. Pope Francis talks about an enemy. And Jesus once said, you probably remember from the Sunday readings, He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have tribulation. And that word tribulation actually speaks in Greek about this tearing apart from the inside. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have opportunities to be anxious. You're going to have opportunities to be troubled. But Jesus says, take you know, good cheer. Take courage. I've overcome the world. So we want to know our Father's heart and His ways when it comes to praising God. Now, let's bring this into the practical here for a few minutes. When I say praise God in a tough situation, right away, I know what you're thinking, because I've thought the same thing, and that is, you want me just to say, praise God, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, stick in occasionally a little Maranatha, hallelujah, glory to God, praise, okay, how long can I go with this? And if I do that long enough, voila, which is Greek for, hey, it all worked out. No, it's not. Don't repeat that. It's not Greek for anything. Voila, it's just all going to work out if I just say praise God. But that's not what we're called to, is to just say a few words and it's just all going to work out. We're called to engage the troubles that we face with our Heavenly Father by knowing His heart and knowing what He has done. Now, I'll give you a little example here. If I were to say to you right now that coming into the studio here in the very, very wonderful Relevant Radio studios, we have Mr. John Q. Public, and he's going to come in here in just a couple of minutes. And listen, he's not in here yet, but when he comes in, I want all of you to call on the phone and I want you to give praise. I'll put a bunch of you on the air and you just start praising John Q. Public. Should we do that? So let's just pretend we do that. Ladies and gentlemen, 1, 2, 3, I'd like to welcome Mr. John Q. Public. And Paul brings up the applause and it's you're going to do that, Paul? You're going to bring in there it is. It's the applause, the wind. And John Q. Public comes in. He's sitting in here. And now we're taking your calls and you're saying, oh, praise you, John. Praise you, John. Thank you, John. Praise you, John. Now, after about 3 or 4 minutes of that, I guarantee you, you're going to ask two questions because you're probably going to feel a little stupid. You're going to ask, number one, who is he? And number two, what has he done that warrants me calling in and praising Mr. John Q. Public? You see, you don't know who he is, and you don't know what he's done. But I told you to praise him, and you did. But after about 3 minutes, you're looking at me like, Jeff, this is weird. I don't even know the guy. Maybe you feel like that with the Lord sometimes, that you feel that your praise is empty. Maybe it feels shallow because truth of the matter is, you don't know Him very well. Now, I'm not saying that to condemn you. I'm not saying that to put you down. I'm saying that to kind of awaken inside of you the realization that maybe I don't know Him as well as I thought I did, and I don't know His deeds and His ways as well as I thought I did. And perhaps it's because we don't read the Bible a whole lot. That's one of the keys to this Thanksgiving show is I want to encourage you to start reading the Bible. I want to encourage you to start spending time with your Father in adoration chapels and prayer and the rosary so that you do get to know Him. Now, if I brought my wife in here and I spent about 20 minutes, you know, telling you all about Emily and all the good things that she's done and the great heart that she has, and I said, when she comes into the studio, would you call her and give her praise and thanks? Well, you might still feel a little bit awkward about praising and thanking my wife, but you'd certainly have some things to say. Whether you meant it or not, I don't know, but you'd have some things to say. You know, when I was a kid growing up, shifting gears here, just I want to give you a practical example of what I'm talking about when I say you got to know the heart of your Father and you've got to know His ways if you're going to call out to Him in tough times. Let me give you an example. When I was a kid growing up in Bloomington, some of you are over there in Bloomington, right over there, I grew up by Jefferson High School in Bloomington. Hubert Olson, Junior High, Westwood Elementary, Southwood. Many of you know those old schools. Well, anyway, I grew up over in Bloomington, and, you know, every neighborhood has bullies. And the bullies in my neighborhood were the Zimmermans. These two brothers had a way of putting the fear of God in you. The minute they stepped into the backyard and they looked at you, you wanted to run. And one day they were gone, and a bunch of us were playing wiffle ball in the backyard. And you know how it was back then? Back then, kids actually got outside their house and played. And they ran around the neighborhood. We had all kinds of games, and we played wiffle ball, took 2 or 3 yards of flat yards to get a good wiffle ball game. And we were almost done, and we were using the Zimmermans' backyard. And lo and behold, about the 8th inning, the Zimmermans come home. And they're standing in the backyard, and they had a ladder, and they put the ladder up to the garage, and they got up on top of there, and they sat there, and they started watching and laughing. And they got down, and the game was over, and they came over to me, and I was probably the littlest guy there, little blonde-haired kid, and they said, "Hey, Cavins, I dare you to get up on top of the roof." Now, about a couple months earlier, I fell a couple stories on a house that was being constructed, and I had kind of a fear of heights at that point. I didn't want to get up on the garage. And certainly when the Zimmermans tell you to get up on the garage, it can't have a good ending. But I gave in. They kept taunting me, and my friend said, "Cavins, what's the big deal? Get up on the roof. Get it over with." So I climbed up that ladder, and I got on the roof. And lo and behold, the Zimmermans took the ladder away. I was frightened, and I was scared. I lived 3 houses away, and I didn't know what to do, and I started to cry. And they're like, "Oh, cry, Cavins, cry." And I knew one thing. If I could yell loud enough and get my dad's attention, I knew he would come running. Now, granted, I lived three houses away, but you know what I did? I got a big lung full, both lungs full of air, and I let it rip. I just yelled as loud as I could. And coughed and yelled as loud as I could. And I yelled, guess what I yelled? I yelled, "Dad!" And I yelled it again, "Dad!" And about a minute later, my dad came running around the corner. And the Zimmermans saw him and they took off. And my dad put the ladder up to the garage. He came up. And he turned me around, grabbed me by the pants, and helped me down that ladder. Now, let me ask you a question. Think about this for a moment. Do you think for a moment that if I thought my dad was going to join the Zimmermans in ridiculing me or laughing, do you think I would have called out for my dad? No way. I called out for my dad because I know my dad's heart. And I know my dad's ways. And I knew that if he could hear me and yelling for him, I knew he would come. Now, you might have missed something in that right there. Do you know what you might have missed? It's this. I didn't yell out, "Robert!" Now, I lived in the middle of about 20 kids my age, and I yelled, "Dad." There were about 20 dads in the neighborhood. But when this kid, Jeff, yelled, "Dad," only one came running because he heard my voice, and he was my dad. He wasn't their dad. He wasn't Mark's dad. He wasn't Gary's dad. He wasn't David. He wasn't Mark. He wasn't any of their dads. He was my dad. And I called Dad, and he came, and he helped me down. But you know what? I had a good childhood. I had a good dad. Some of you have not had such a good experience growing up. And maybe you're a little bit gun-shy when it comes to really trusting in God. You know that in the Middle Ages, there was a philosophy called nominalism. Nominalism, like nominalism. And nominalism basically taught that there were no universal truths. So if I said, "God is faithful," today, you would say, "Well, maybe now, but you never know tomorrow." That could change because there are no universal truths. Nominalism, it actually springs from some Islamic influences. And you see, Islam and Christianity and Judaism all see God differently. And I'm not here to talk all about Islam and all about Judaism and Christianity in comparison, but I can tell you this, that Islam sees God as master. Christianity and Judaism sees God as father. Now, that's not considered good in Islam. You don't call God father. But all three religions see Abraham through one of two perspectives. One is through the eyes of Ishmael, who was born of Hagar, a slave, an Egyptian slave. So he sees Abraham as master, whereas Isaac sees Abraham as father. And as by way of extension, Judaism and Christianity see God as father. But I bring up this philosophy called nominalism because there's a problem with it, and that is that if you are not confident in knowing your father's heart, paragraph 236 of the Catechism, if you are not confident in knowing his ways, his words and deeds, then you're on shaky ground, and you just might be influenced by this philosophy called nominalism. But I got good news for you. You don't need to live that way. Oh, I know, maybe your dad was different after a couple drinks. Maybe dad was unpredictable when he had come back from the bar with the boys. And maybe you couldn't totally depend upon him. But you know what? God has given you living icons to depend on. He's given us saints. He's given us great pope. He's given us great leaders in the church. And he has given us his son as a complete demonstration of who he is, his faithfulness. And so if you're living that life that is, you know, influenced by nominalism, one of the things you want to work on is getting to know the true heart of your father by reading the Word of God, spending time with him, and looking at some of the great saints and their actions. So what happens so often is, and we're going to take a break here in just a couple minutes, but what happens so often is if we don't know the heart of our father and we don't know his words and deeds, here's what we do. We get into catchphrases. Praise God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's Greek. Hallelujah is Hebrew. Praise God, Maranatha, thank you, Jesus. We come up with these catchphrases, which are good. And if you don't have anything else to say, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But wouldn't you like more to say? I'll give you an idea. You know, years ago, I've been married 36 years. So has my wife. And I got into this pattern coming home from work years ago, like 30 years ago. I'd come home every day and I'd look at my wife and say, when I came in, "Love you, babe." And the next day, "Love you, babe." 2 weeks later, come home from work, "Love you, babe." And about 3 months, 4 months into it, I came home and said, "Love you, babe." And she said to me, "Why?" Now, you guys know that's going to foul us up a little bit. You're asking me, honey, to think here. Why do I love you? Well, because you're my wife. No, she wants something deeper than that. Why do you love me? So I had to start thinking. So I thought, "Huh, that's a good question. Why do I love you?" And I started to think, and I started to think about who she is and her heart, and I started to think about the things that she's done for me and her family. And all of a sudden it hit me, oh my, I have so much to be thankful for here and to praise you for. And I found a new vocabulary. See, that's what God wants with you today at this Thanksgiving time. He wants you to get a new vocabulary so that you can go beyond just saying, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God, Maranatha, and you can get into, Lord, I praise you and I thank you because you are the creator of the universe and all the laws of the universe reflect your faithfulness. I thank you for what you did in the life of David. I thank you for the faithfulness that you demonstrated in all of these great stories in the Bible. And I know, Lord, what you did in the life of Paul. I know what you did with Peter. And I know, Lord, that I can depend upon you today. You see, as much as you know the Bible, and you know the ways of God and the thoughts of God, that's how large your vocabulary is when it comes to praising God. And here's the beautiful thing. It doesn't change him. It's going to change you. You're going to look at life differently when you begin to praise him. When we come back from our break, I want to share with you some practical tips on how to cultivate praise and thanksgiving in your life. I'm talking about really practical stuff that you can start putting into practice today. So whatever you're going through in your life right now, we can start doing something about it today. So when we return from the break, we'll talk about some of those practical tips. I'm Jeff Cavins. This is the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away. Practical tips right around the corner. Gonna change your life. Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy efficient lighting? Do you wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and just relaxing and talking about praise and Thanksgiving today after this great celebration of Thanksgiving. Maybe you're in the car on the way back. You know, I got the kids there, and you're passing through the Twin Cities, and you've never heard of Relevant Radio before. Well, welcome. This is a fantastic Catholic radio network where we talk about living the life and bridging the gap between faith and everyday life, putting God's word into practice. We're talking about praising and thanking God right now. And before the break, we were talking about the importance of knowing the heart of your Father and his ways if you're going to have something to praise and thank him about. And when you do that, when you begin to praise and thank God, amazing things will happen in your life. Truly, truly amazing things. And I'm joined by Paul Sadek here.
I'm here.
Who still is full from the turkey dinner.
Oh, indeed. Yes.
And all of the fixins. Hey, you know, there's a scripture, Paul, that I love, and I want to share this. It's so good. It says in Isaiah 61 in verse 3, I like what Isaiah said. He said that God has given us a garment of praise instead of something. And what do you think that something is?
I confess you've got me stumped.
Okay. God has given us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
You know, so often we struggle at times. We have a heavy heart. Things happen, you know, in our children's lives. Great phrase I ran into not too long ago. It says, a father is as happy as his saddest child. And, you know, that's true. And if you have that heaviness in your life, God has given you a garment of praise. But a garment of praise really doesn't do a whole lot of good sitting in the closet. I mean, you've got to physically put it on. Paul, you're donning a spectacular burgundy sweatshirt today. That didn't just happen. You had to put that on.
Yes.
If you have a garment of praise and God gives you the garment of praise, you got to put it on.
You got to put it on.
So how do we put it on? Well, let's talk about some practical things about giving God praise and thanksgiving in the midst of difficult situations. I got a list here. we'll see how many we can get through before the end of the show. And love to hear your thoughts too, Paul. Number one, it's important to realize that if you're going to cultivate a life of praise and thanksgiving, number one, it's a holy discipline. It's independent of feelings.
Right.
How many times do we say, well, you know, someone says, praise God. You say, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. You know, well, you got a broken leg. Go to the hospital. I don't feel like it. You know, feelings, if you're going to go by feelings, you're kind of defeated right off the bat. Living a life of praise and thanksgiving is not about feelings. It's about what is true and what is right and what's the right thing to do in the midst of a tough situation. I'm not waiting for a feeling. God has already given us the example in Scripture. Begin to praise Him. Begin to praise Him. And have you in your life had times where you felt kind of down, you started praising God and it changed you?
Yes. Yes. It always does.
Always.
Yep.
Always. It's, you know, my wife used to say when I would get angry or upset, she would say, you know what? You need to go and make a holy hour. And I'd look at her and say, you need to make a holy hour. She'd say, no, you do. You know, that kind of maturity there in the household. Uh-huh. So I would go and I would sit down, you know, in the holy hour and I'd see the Lord and kneel down and say, well, my wife wants me here. And lo and behold, voila. It's working. Hour later, I walk home.
It's what you were supposed to do.
I go home an hour later, and my life has changed. My wife says, well, how was it? Well, it was all right. But she was right.
You don't want to let her know.
Yeah, I know. Not that, at that point. Number two, thank God for small and ordinary things. I ran across this great quote someone once said. They said, the only thing necessary to make us unappreciative of a blessing from God is that we should receive the blessing often and regularly. So think about those things that are small and ordinary things in your life that that are regular, and we just take them for granted.
Getting up in the morning, being able to get up.
Being able to get up, being able to see. You know, it was so funny. A while ago, my daughters and I have all girls. We had dinner, and I think I freaked them out. We were having dinner, and I reached over as I was talking to them, and I reached over and grabbed the salt and pepper, and I'm salt and peppering the potatoes as I'm talking to them, and I put the salt and pepper shaker back down, and all of a sudden it hits me. Wow. I just did that without even thinking. And I carried on a conversation while at the same time my wrists are working perfectly. Mm-hmm. I got enough salt on there, and I'm doing this while carrying on a conversation. So I said to my girls, I said, did you see that? And they're like, what, Dad? I said, I just did all of that without hardly even thinking. This is incredible. And they're like, Dad, you're scaring us. And my point was, and I won't belabor the point, but my point was, we are incredibly made.
Yeah.
There is so much to thank God of. Do you know that right now, as you're listening to me on the radio right now, you know there's people within 10 miles of you that can't even get out of bed? Thank God for all of the small and ordinary things in your life. Number three, thank God in the midst of adversity.
That's a tough one.
It is. It is. But you know what? If people will start to develop a life of praise and thanksgiving in the good times, they're going to find that it's easier to do it in the tough times.
Very true.
The really the worst time to start this habit, even though you should, is in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like suddenly, you know, there's the third game of the season in football, and the coach says, you ready? I say, well, I didn't have any preseason workout, and I haven't been playing in the first two games, but yeah, let's give it a shot. Well, you should have been practicing earlier.
Right.
And then when you receive the ball, you're going to be in shape. Mm-hmm. So thank God in the midst of adversity. Paul said it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He said, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, Paul, you know that I like Hebrew and Greek. And I looked up in Greek the word, this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You know what it said? It says in Greek this. Here's the translation.
Okay.
Give thanks in all circumstances. There you go. That's the translation.
Yeah.
So now you heard it in English and the translation. Let me do the English again. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now let's do the Greek translation.
Give thanks in all circumstances.
Bingo.
I learned some Greek.
There you go. There you go. Number four, set aside some time daily to express thanks to God and praise. One of the things people oftentimes miss in the Old Testament, you know, the Old Testament is just filled with nuggets. In ancient Israel, did you know, Paul, that they had a daily habit of thanksgiving? And it was so important in the life of Israel to give thanks to God that they appointed people, Levites, to give God praise and thanksgiving every morning and every evening, every afternoon.
It's good to set a time.
It is. And I think that's amazing. Here's a nation serving God, and they said that it's so important to praise and thanks God that we're going to establish people to do it every morning and afternoon. Every day, people will be appointed to do it. In fact, in the book of Daniel, towards the end of the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 6, do you know that Daniel every day knelt down 3 times to give what? Thanks to God. So I would ask you, do you give thanks to God? You're driving down 494, driving down 35W. Do you give thanks to God in your life? Do you give him thanks regularly? How about setting that watch you have to maybe go an alarm go off at 2 o'clock or 8 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon? Nobody else has to know why the alarm went off on your watch or your iPhone, your Android, but you know what it is. Take just a moment to thank God. Maybe do it 3 times a day.
It can be done secretly.
Exactly. And Daniel did it 3 times a day. Here's one: thank God publicly and corporately. So how do we do this? Well, the Mass is the Eucharist.
That's a good one.
And Eucharist means Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So if you go to Mass often, you have an opportunity to give God thanks and praise. Even in the Mass itself, you know, we believe by how we worship. Our worship teaches us what to believe. And the Gloria, we give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. Liturgy of the Word. We hear the word of the Lord. What's our response?
Thanks be to God.
Eucharistic prayer. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. What's our response? It is right
and just
to give. Yep, exactly. So the concluding rite, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. I mean, this is what we're being taught. So extend that out into the week. So number 6, try voluntarily fasting from something that that perhaps you take for granted. You like that car? Go without it for a week. You'll be thankful.
Yeah, you will.
You might have another attitude towards buses, but you will be thankful for your car.
Mm-hmm.
You say you like your food. Go without it for a couple days. You will really like your food. And in fact, you'll be very, very thankful for it. Think about what you could go without. Number 7, keep a record of God's faithfulness to you. In other words, count your blessings. Count them one by one. You know, people talk about counting sheep. Do not count endangered species. You will run out. Count sheep. Keep a record. Keep a record. Count those things at the end of the day that you are so thankful for, that God has given you. Keep a record of God's faithfulness to you. You know what? We're coming on the holidays. I'll give you a real quick one. I have some relatives who cut, for all these years, 60 years of marriage, they cut off the bottom inch of the Christmas tree every year, and they collect them every year, and they write on there what they're thankful for.
Oh, my.
Isn't that neat?
That is.
Grandkids, great-grandkids looking at all this, seeing all the years of thankfulness from great-grandma.
Yeah.
Start a tradition this year. Number 8, show gratitude and thankfulness towards others. Just think about somebody that you can be thankful for. Who taught you the faith? The Catechism says that in paragraph 2220, that those who passed on the faith to you, if you thank them, it's a way of praising God and thanking God. And also it tells us in the Catechism in paragraphs 2215 and 2218 that if you take care of your parents in their old age, that is showing thanks to God.
Yep.
Real practical stuff here. Yep. Number 9, are you suffering from anxiety or worry? I got an answer for you. You can't wake up in the middle of the night because you're suffering from anxiety and worry. Here's the answer. Turn on CNN. Okay, now you know I'm joking. You know I'm joking. Turn on Fox. No, I'm still joking. You don't want to turn on the television at 2 in the morning. You know what? Selling real estate is not going to be the answer to your anxiety. The answer to your anxiety and you can't sleep is what? It tells us in Psalm 119, 62, says, if you can't sleep at night, rise and give thanks to God.
There we go.
Put the remote down and begin to give thanks to God. And then when you're done, tune into Relevant Radio for a little dessert, then go back to bed.
There we go.
And then finally, allow the Holy Spirit. Number 10, allow the Holy Spirit to awaken your memory during the liturgy of the Word. God wants to speak to you in His Word, and if you will listen, He will give you some wonderful things to bank on. He'll give you some hope and some direction, and your response is thanks be to God. How many times do we say thanks be to God to something we don't even remember? If you have, if somebody said to you, well, okay, what was the reading? You know what? 10 seconds later, I cannot remember. I wasn't paying attention. So ask the Holy Spirit to quicken your memory so that you'll pay attention and be there. Wow. Well, Paul, it's been a great time just to be together here.
It has.
Talk about Thanksgiving just right after Thanksgiving. And, you know, I hope that you have a great the rest of the holiday. And
There's a lot of it yet to come. That's for sure.
And all of you, hey, thanks for tuning in today. And I really do hope that you can take something that we shared with you today and put it into practice in your life. And really get to know the heart of your Father. Really get to know His ways and put thanksgiving and praise into practice. This is Rediscover Hour. See you next time.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330, and is presented by your trusted electrical advisor, Stinson Electric, serving commercial, institutional, and facility managers in our area. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.